So I said, thoughts on Caligari? He said he didn't eat squid.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
What's up, Steve?
Hey, how you going?
Of course, the gag there, calamari, is the sort of food.
Kiria does a bloody good read on that.
Makes me hungry, actually.
Makes you hungry? What does it make me?
Whoa, this has gone down a rabbit hole.
Yes.
Who knows what's real anymore? I mean,
Steve,
I was having trouble with that already, but
where are you?
Crazy.
We'd like to get the situations of the people that we call in our segments, just to, you know, set the scene.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm currently sitting in the spare room, which is my viewing room number two.
Yes.
And just got my feet up, sitting in my trackies, dressed for lockdown. I was just remarking to someone on chat before that I can't wait till we have the first dress-like lockdown-themed parties where we pretend that we didn't look like pieces of shit at home. But I think the reality is that I certainly look like a piece of shit right now.
Okay.
Both Big Hungry and I...
Have I painted a nice brown picture?
Piece of shit, yep.
Both Big Hungry and I are wearing t-shirts to work with holes in them today.
That's true.
This is something about working in an office with no one else around.
Yes. I tell you what, though. Little do you know it, but you've dressed thematically correctly for one of the things that we're going to be talking about today.
So, true. We've both got the tatty white shirts.
Segway City.
Mm.
I've been watching this new Vice TV series, which pops up on Neon from tomorrow, called Dark Side of the 90s, which, of course, do you remember the 90s? Remember grunge? Remember t-shirts with holes in them?
Mm.
I mean, they never really went away, t-shirts with holes in them. We all do wear our t-shirts out, I guess.
Still wearing them? Yep.
But this is a great lockdown kind of time show, because it really is fantastic, nostalgic garbage viewing. These are a series of 10 episodes. They're all around sort of 45 minutes long. Your narrator through the series is Mark McGrath, the singer of Sugar Ray, who also does a pretty good cameo if you're in the market for a good cameo.
Okay.
So he kind of, you know, lends a certain sort of nostalgia to it. Not that I'm achingly nostalgic for Sugar Ray, but it does seem to kind of fit. The episode I actually was just watching, just wrapping up before this call, was about the Viper Room. And the death of River Phoenix. That's probably a good kind of entry point into.
I watched that
one. Some of the things these episodes cover.
I've seen, or I saw a Vice one about 11 minutes just covering the Viper Room. I didn't realize that Johnny Depp owned the Viper Room. That's crazy.
Yes, Johnny Depp did the great thing of buying a bar that his friends could hang out in.
Sounds like they loved it. Sounds like a little haven for
them. Like a bit of a trashy bar that they could pretend they were. I think they could pretend they were normal, but surrounded by 199 other really famous people all on drugs. So
kind of like Red Bar.
Do what common people really do, bad. Eh? You kind of like Red Bar?
Kind of like Red Bar.
Actually, we should remind everyone that Red Bar Out of the Way 3, a.k.a. Red Bar 8, we think, will be moving to the same night as The Other's Way, probably by coincidence once again, but we'll just wait and see when The Other's Way settles down. And then we'll see if that's the same date as our gig, which is most likely to be. So,
sorry. I mean, I think piggybacking on their safety protocols is probably a good idea. Like, you can, you know, they've done the due diligence of when it's safe to put a music event on, and you can just follow suit, but with arguably better toilets.
Sure.
Let's face it, the Red Bar facilities are much better than the facilities would have been at the Viper Room, which was a real piece of crap when Johnny Depp bought it. He bought it because it was a place that bands played in Hollywood. One of the theories in this episode is that he bought it because he liked one of the guys that played there and didn't think he'd actually be able to get any gigs anywhere else. Having just watched a documentary on Shane McGowan that Johnny Depp presents and features in, he's definitely got he's definitely drawn to some of the more interesting musical figures of our times. But anyway, back to Dark Side of the 90s. There's also episodes on the teenage-oriented TV of the period. So that's when things like Beverly Hills 90210, which seems very tame now, definitely shocked society because it showed teenagers doing teenage things. There's also an episode on Sub Pop in Seattle. Jerry Springer and his Slap Happy TV gets an outing. A little show called Baywatch gets some attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's things that are possibly a little bit less screen-oriented, like Beanie Babies. I think there's plenty to chug through here. I haven't watched the whole season, but I'm going to be chipping away.
What's dark about the Beanie Babies? I don't understand. What is that?
What is a Beanie Baby?
Well, yeah. I think it's just that it's super 90s. I think that's probably that's probably the thing. Although, who knows? I mean,
choking hazard.
Do you know what was in a Beanie Baby?
No idea. No, I don't even know. I'm going to chuck one out. I'm just going to say beans. There you go.
I think watch this episode and you might find out.
Okay. Smaller Beanie Babies?
Used needles? Who knows? There's only one way to find out.
Oh, shit. It's not that candy it's not that toy that the plastic ended up being like GBH by accident.
I don't believe so, but okay. I'll do some experiments to verify whether that's the case or not.
Okay. Just keep track pants on, mate. Don't worry about it.
I've been watching a bunch of stuff that's playing at the New Zealand International Film Festival. Sadly, that's not in Auckland, so
the NIF.
I think we'll come back to that when those are films that the listenership actually gets to watch. But mm-hmm. that Shane McGowan doco, for instance, is a real goodie. What have you guys been catching over the last week?
What have I been doing? Nothing comes to mind, actually. I watched Friday the 13th, actually, and it was really good. That's what I watched. I was really impressed.
Like, first up, Friday the 13th?
The first one. Yeah, first I watched a kind of a little low-key documentary on how it was made, and that really primed it for me. And then I watched it, and I was actually kind of impressed. You know, like, the gore's not... It is what it is, but the build-up and the tension, all pretty good. I liked it. And also, it's kind of cool because you can tell they're just not making it with a massive, like obviously it's turned into an absolute raging beast now with just 20 million versions of it. But that's the first one, and that you can tell there's no real plan for a sequel or anything like that. It's just a crazy movie, you know? I like that.
Yeah, man.
I like the intention to, like, carry on, but it did, but, you know? Because I watched the second one as well, and it's not meant, so...
It's really the curse of the modern film, isn't it? The idea that
we've got a franchise.
A good idea must be franchised from inception.
Yeah.
I think when you look at those, when you look at like the Friday the 13th or Halloween,
they're
or
just chucking it out
Nightmare, now. Or even Nightmare on Elm Street franchises, even the sequels are kind of like, well, there probably will be another one, but we're not going to sort that out now. We'll let that be someone else's problem.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
in
totally.
6 months' time.
That's what writers are for.
That's what writers are for.
Yeah, but
speaking of making things someone else's problem, I've also just been rewatching I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson.
Oh, yeah, there's a couple of great skits in there, man. Holy smokes, so funny.
Yeah, man. I think that, you know, his hot dog costume may be like a giant meme, but there's plenty of gold to rediscover. If you haven't watched this show, it's just basically, the title says it all. It's almost every sketch is someone that probably is being too much of a dick, and you would first gently encourage to move on, and then possibly less so. Men who just keep losing their cool under often quite calm circumstances. Mm-hmm. Definitely stands up for a rewatch, that one.
Where is that streaming at the moment?
You can find that sucker on Netflix.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, definitely.
Good compulsive viewing, and yeah. I think a little bit like the return of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is been satisfying. There's something quite joyful in watching these shows that are about interpersonal problems and dealing with strange strangers when most of us don't get to see many of them at the moment.
Mm.
Maybe like when you pick at your takeaways or something, but that's about it.
Nice.
Any viewing for you, John?
I haven't committed to anything. My partner was watching, I think it was Old People's Homes for 4-year-olds.
What?
About a bunch of like a social experiment about a bunch of 4-year-olds pairing up with people who live in a retirement village.
Kids say the dumbest
very
things.
Like tear jerking, you know, because it's a bunch of elderly people who have limited family and you know, like limited connections to other people, and they're sort of given a new lease on life by hanging out with some 4-year-olds. Real
better than a dog.
Tear jerking moments, mate. Oh god. I couldn't handle it, actually. It's too emotional for me. It
sounds like it's going to be a future episode of Dark Side of the 20s.
Mm.
When they get around to looking at our prison.
I feel, I don't know if there's two, you know, I feel like it was edgier. The 80s and 90s was edgy.
Mm.
That's why we can look back and see the darkness.
Mm.
So it was just kind of
maybe there'll be some grunty. Someone from a really shit band from our time period going, do you guys remember this little thing called COVID-19?
Curious to hear from the listeners as to what the most edgy thing of the... So we're in the 20s? Would we say we're in the 20s right now?
Yeah, but you'd say the noughties, wouldn't you? Because we can just reflect back on that and everyone listening can pretty much get a handle on it.
Okay.
What do you think?
Lycra?
When did Lycra pop into the scene?
No, that's more 80s.
Just plastic in general got ramped up.
Mm. All right, Steve.
And a whole episode on Lycra. I mean, there is a Baywatch episode that's pretty Lycra. It's going to be quite Lycra-oriented, let's face it. I'll leave on that note. Yes, I think you should leave, Steve. I'll catch you guys next week.
Okay.
Okie doke, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.